The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. As we began to see yesterday, there were many different kinds of people from many different backgrounds who worked to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. There were priests, pharmacists, stone workers, and farmers. Much like the Church of God today, the Kingdom of God in that day was made up of many different people from many walks of life, but God used them all in the rebuilding of His kingdom. Join us today as we continue looking at the workers on the walls of Jerusalem.
When He
He said, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. All right, so here he's saying in the church, there's a difference in each member. Now, you say, wait a minute, you know, you're saying they're better members than others? No, that's not what he's saying. There's not big members and little members. There's not better members than other members. There, you know, some look around and say, well, I can't preach, so I just don't have anything that I can contribute. Well, there's a lot that you can contribute, and he's going to deal with that in a moment. But see, these differences in operations and administrations and gifts are of the Lord, and that's what he does to bring us together. Because just like on the walls of Jerusalem there that were being repaired, there were people from different backgrounds. We have people that grew up in the Primitive Baptist Church that are members of this church. We have others like myself that didn't grow up in the Primitive Baptist Church, but grew up in a church that was very similar in its teaching, almost identical in its doctrine. We also have people that have joined this church that came from a Southern Baptist background or some other, you know, a church, other type of church background. We have all kinds of different backgrounds here at this church, but we're all part of the same body. He goes on to talk about these spiritual gifts. Verse 8, one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. There have been a lot of error come out of these verses right here. There are denominations today that teach that we still have the gifts of healing. Well, beloved, we still have divine healing. We just don't have divine healers. You know, I have the important duty, and you do too, to pray for those that are sick, because God can intervene and he can heal them. But for me to go over there and lay my hands on their head or hit them in the head like I see on TV sometimes and knock them down with the Spirit, beloved, that's not the Spirit of God. That is some other kind of spirit. But see, so he's talking about here in particular gifts that were given to the apostolic church, the early church that have faded away. You can turn over sometime to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and you're going to read that there's several things going to pass away, but only thing that's left is faith, hope, and charity. These three gifts are still here today. But the point of all that is that there were different men doing different things, but it was the selfsame Spirit. It was the very same Spirit. So I've had the experience of talking with people and being a participant in their conversion, if you will, to the understanding of the truth of God's grace. Notice I said their conversion, not their regeneration. We don't have anything to do with their regeneration, but we can, you know, God uses us in helping some to come to see the doctrines of grace, the truth of God's word of his eternal salvation. And we can be a participant in that. I've had the experience of being a participant in helping some people come to see the truth of God's grace. But I've also been the recipient of others' efforts in that same regard. I've had some come to me that said, hey, I talked to brother so-and-so, and now I see this. You know, I wish I had a part in it, but I didn't. But it's okay. It's the self-same Spirit. And sometimes somebody you can talk to, I can't. There are those you can minister to that I can't. There are those I can minister to that you can't. But you have a sphere of influence, and it's the self-same Spirit that may be leading you and giving you an opportunity in someone's life that he doesn't give me. And by the way, one of the most important things we can do as children of God is pray for those opportunities and then pray that God will show us that these are the opportunities. Because sometimes I've been praying for opportunities and I missed them when they came along. So we need to be praying for wisdom to see that. Now, notice what he does in verse 12 as he begins to explain to us what the church is all about. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. He's talking about the spiritual body of Christ, which is the church here. He's saying the church, I'm going to compare the church to a human body. And this is, you know, I've said this before, and we need to remember this. God is not playing hide the ball, okay? He's not, he's not trying to obscure his truth from us. His purpose is to reveal it to us. And that's why he often uses physical examples, natural examples, to demonstrate a spiritual truth. And that's what he's doing here. So notice in verse 13, he says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him." You see, the point of this is that each member of our body, each little digit on our fingers, each little cell of our bodies is important, you know? I know I've used this example before, but I'll never forget Miss Sarah Coward, who was the librarian at Pickens Academy when I was in elementary school. Real dear lady, but she had some kind of chronic disease that came over her, and she had to go to Spain Rehabilitation Center for a long time after she'd been in the hospital. And one of the reasons she had to go through that rehab was because she had lost the little toe on one of her feet, or maybe both of her feet, I can't remember. You know, now I don't know about you, but I don't see the need in my pinky very much, you know? It's just something that gets, it's really the only point of the pinky toe that I've seen much in my life is that it's there to stub it on something and make you feel like you want to lose your religion, you know? So I've done that many times. But did you know that if you didn't have that pinky toe on your foot, you'd have to basically relearn how to walk? That it has a function in keeping you balanced, helping to keep you balanced. And that's a minor example, but think about if we lose your hearing. You can still see. Did we say, "Oh, well, that's all right, I can still see"? Maybe, you know, my granddaddy Springer had a hand that was just mauled in a roller at a sawmill, and it was just kind of like a little claw hand. He couldn't hardly move it up there. You know, granddaddy was one of the most positive thinking people I've ever known. So he probably would, if you asked him, say, you know, "Granddaddy, how can you make it without it?" He'd probably say, "Oh, it's all right, I got my other hand," you know. But most people wouldn't say that. I know I'm not inclined to say that. You know, "Oh, well, that's okay, I'll cut this hand off because I still got a hand." Or a finger, just a finger, just losing something small like that. And let me tell you something. You talk about, I mean, not to get too gross about it, but I've experienced ingrown toenails before, okay? That's a minor thing, right? A very minor thing. But let me tell you, it'll cause your whole body to rack with pain. I have experienced that, beloved. And the point he's making here is there's no member of the church that's insignificant. Every single member of the church is important. You may think you're the pinky toe of the church, okay? But you're still important. Beloved, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if you're not the preacher. It doesn't matter you're not a deacon. It doesn't matter you're not one of the ones that's in the leadership position, beloved. You are important in the church of the living God. He says God set you in the church as it pleased him. That doesn't mean he predestinated you and picked you up and made you come down here and join the church, but it does mean he providentially led you here and he put you here for a reason. And your reason is to be here to glorify him. He said, if they were all one member, where were the body? I mean, think about, we know people, don't we, that have lost their arms and their legs. And essentially all they are is a body, right? We don't consider those people blessed and lucky. We consider them afflicted and having struggles and pain, you see. He said, if they were all one member, if all you had was your torso, you wouldn't be able to do anything. He said, if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, "I have no need of thee." Think about that. The eye sees something it wants, but you don't have a hand to pick it up with. You're in trouble, right? Nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." You think in your mind, "I want to go down to this ball game tomorrow," but you don't have any feet to get you there, right? Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And listen to this, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's a sweet picture of the church, isn't it? I want to say to you tonight that I feel this. When you suffer, and we've had that. We've had some members of our church to suffer. We, you know, Brother Buddy has been suffering for several weeks now over some serious issues. You know, I hurt when Brother Buddy suffers. I hurt when you suffer. I hurt when someone is sick or someone has lost a loved one. We ought to hurt for one another. And you know, on the other hand, when things are going well with you, I rejoice. When I see something that, especially like some of our young people in their college experience, or maybe when they were playing sports or different things, or they get some award, I rejoice with you in that. And that's what we all ought to do. We are members of a body. Jesus is not the CEO of the organization. He's the head of the organism. And it's a body that we hurt when others hurt. You know, that's why we don't rejoice when we see others stumble and fall, do we? And I'm not just talking now about Primitive Baptist churches. I see other men out there who have been, in many ways, I don't agree with them, but in a lot of ways I do. And we see, you know, some of these preachers that maybe aren't completely correct, but they've been preaching some truth, and then they fall into some immorality, and they're cast down, wounded, and hurt, and even destroyed. You know, we shouldn't rejoice in that. What did David do when Saul was killed? He said he didn't go out rejoicing. He wept that Saul had been killed. When Abner, his great war leader, the great war leader of Saul, was murdered over there and killed, he didn't rejoice at that. He said, "Know ye not that a prince and a great man hath fallen this day in Israel?" Now in that case, it was through death. Sometimes it's through the destruction of the devil, and we ought to not rejoice in that. We ought to rejoice when the members rejoice, you see. And then he goes on to say this, "Now ye," and I'm telling you, beloved, he's not just talking to the Corinthian church. He's talking to Zion Church and Blooming Grove Church and Bethlehem Church and other churches. "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." I like that. That reminds me that God didn't just cast a net out there and grab up what fish he could. He chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. He didn't just say, I'm going to get a whole bunch of these over here. I don't really care who they are, but I'm just going to grab them. He knew me intimately before the foundation of the world. He knew me better than I know myself. He knew me then better than I know myself now. And I am a member in particular of this church. And God has said in the church, some in the church, first apostles, secondarily, prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. He says this, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" And the implied answer there is no. And you don't need to be comparing. You know, he says in another place, "They that compare themselves among themselves are not wise." You know, I've had this conversation before with people who are struggling with different things, and they say, "Well, you know, Brother Chris, I'll never be as good a Christian as so-and-so. I'll never be as good a Christian as Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so." My first response is, why not? You know, God didn't set up different hierarchies of Christians. You know, if you're concerned about, well, I'm not living in a way that's, you know, as pleasing to the Lord as somebody else is, first of all, you're probably wrong. Most people think others have this perfect life that they don't have. But if that is your concern, then get busy and work and serve the Lord and get to doing the things that you feel like you need to do. But the flip side of that is, don't compare yourself with others. Because when you start comparing yourselves among yourselves, you're not wise. You know why? Because first of all, you're using the wrong measuring stick. You know, I hope and pray that I will be someone that somebody else might could look up to, but I don't want them to put all of their hopes in me. Because a lot of people looked up to David. Uriah the Hittite looked up to David. He was one of David's mighty men, and David had him killed over his wife. He will let you down. Men will let you down. The wrong measuring stick. I'm the wrong measuring stick, you see. Maybe you ought to be strive to be an example to others, but don't ever let anybody use you as the measuring stick. Christ is the measuring stick. We'll never live up to him, but we ought to strive to do so, you see. Verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. There's one thing we're to covet in the church, and that's the best gifts. And in this particular case, I believe he was talking about those apostolic gifts. But in our age, what do we have? We have faith, hope, and charity, as he's about to teach us. We ought to covet those. Now, that's okay to say, I need to love my brothers and sisters more in the fashion of Christ than I have been loving them. Husbands, you need to love your wives more like Christ loved you in the future than you have in the past. Wives, you need to love your husbands more in the fashion of Christ than you have in the past, you see. He said, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And we're going to stop there because this is not really on point to what I want to preach about tonight. But I encourage you to go into chapter 13, that love chapter. You're going to see that charity, which is the way the King James Bible translates it, which I believe is the best way. Charity is something that is absolutely essential in any work, in any church. Anytime you're repairing the walls of the church or of Jerusalem itself, if you're not doing it in charity, if you're not doing it because you love God and you love your brothers, then you're not doing it for the right reason. And the blessings will not be the same. Yes, there were many different people who worked on the walls. I'm thankful that there are many different people who work on the walls of the kingdom of God today in the church of the living God. May the Lord bless us to continue to serve him and to work for him in the ways that he would have us to work. I appreciate your kind attention tonight.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. And may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.